problems of keeping things loose. You just never felt tight. I was already prepped for it all to come unraveled at any moment. What? She narrowed her eyes at me, surprised. No. Buck, no. It's not about us at all. Well, not our relationship. Although I wouldn't be surprised if this strains it a bit. Oh my God, Veronica, please, just spit it out. She blew out a long breath, and finally got to it. Oni has a job for us. I cocked my head at her. For you and Osiris? She shook her head. For you and me. And Alpha 9. That got my attention. What do you mean, Alpha 9? There's no such thing anymore. Never say never, right? I winced at that. The only one left on active duty besides me is Romeo. You really want me to fight alongside him again? You managed it for years. Let's just say I was doing my duty under heavy duress and leave it at that. Fireteam Osiris is a lot easier to work with. Which member? All of them. Individually and together. It's a heck of a lot simpler not calling the shots, to be honest. Veronica's face got grim again, and a notion struck me. I got up and began to pace around the room. This isn't just about Romeo, is it? What do you mean? Her babe-in-the-woods act never works. Much as I love her, the last thing she happens to be is innocent. Veronica, if you wanted me to head out on a project with Romeo, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. There are a dozen strings you could pull to make that happen. You could add him to Osiris temporarily, or adjunct me to his unit, wherever he is now. But that's not what you're doing, is it? We need a separate unit for this op, I'm afraid. It's need to know only. Locke doesn't qualify? Not for this one, no. That sharpened my attention. Wow. What do you have up your little Oni sleeves? I'm not wearing any sleeves, Buck. It's a metaphor. She hesitated before saying, we need to get the band back together for this one. The whole band. What? Like get Dutch back? He was the only one from Alpha 9 besides me and Romeo who wasn't dead or in prison. He's retired. Couldn't stand being away from Gretchen any longer. I understand that, she said, especially since they were used to working together as ODSTs. If she hadn't lost half her leg to a mine, they'd probably both still be serving. Hell, they might have become Spartans. I shot her a look when I realized she was letting me ramble. But that's not it, is it? Veronica sucked at her teeth. Not quite. There's someone else. I thought about that for a second, even scratching my head. Then it hit me. Oh, no. I shook my head and bounded to my feet. That's what this is about. No. No. No goddamn way. Buck, no way, Veronica. Forget it. I am not working with him again. I don't care how desperate Oni might be. More like how desperate humanity might be. Have you forgotten what we're up against? An image of all those guardians looming in the sky over Genesis flashed into my mind. Yeah, I knew exactly what she meant. It was hard to believe humanity could come out on top this time. We'd managed to survive the Covenant War, so anything was possible. But these things had been created by ancient aliens whose technological wizardry was so advanced, it seemed like magic. Veronica wasn't exaggerating. It's not just Cortana or the Guardians, Veronica said. You heard her speech. There are a lot of AIs who defected to join her and her cause, in exchange for her curing them of their impending rampancy. A lot of highly advanced AIs with access to the UNSC's infrastructure. Which means we're in a very scary place. I marveled at that. I used to think it was impossible to bribe AIs. But when you promise you can keep them from going insane and breaking down after their mandatory 7-year life term, I can see how that's hard to resist. with those defectors on her side, just about all of human technology is exposed to their control and subversion. Those things do so much for us, and now they can turn it all against us if we don't comply. I glanced at the walls. Obviously Roland's good, right? Otherwise we'd all be breathing vacuum already. He's still with us. But that's my point. We're in desperate times, Buck. We seek out desperate allies. I finally said it. You mean Mickey? I sat back down and put my head in my hands while trying to wrap my thoughts around this horrifying new concept. I just couldn't do it. Mickey, Michael Crespo, had been part of Alpha 9 when we'd helped Veronica capture a Huragok named Quick to Adjust during the Battle of New Mombasa. Huragok were strange floating creatures the Covenant had leveraged to gather info and find whatever they were looking for. And Quick to Adjust was a really important one because of what he'd found under New Mombasa. The information the alien provided had helped turn the war against the Covenant. Mickey had worked with Alpha 9 for years after that, through a lot of tight spots and hard times. When those of us who were left standing finally decided to take the UNSC up on its offer to become Spartans, he'd joined Romeo and me in the Spartanized version of the team. For a good while, things had gone really smoothly. Then, during a mission to rescue none other than Quick to Adjust and his handler, Sadie and Disha, from a United Rebel Front outpost, Mickey had turned on Romeo and me. He'd put a gun to the back of my head and tried to capture us for the front. If we hadn't turned the tables on him, we'd have wound up hostages for their cause, or executed during a live broadcast to make a point. And now, I just don't see how or why you could ever ask me to work with that guy again, I told her as I started getting dressed. After what he did to us? After joining the front? That's the trick with this one, Buck, Veronica said with a frown. We're going to be reaching out to the front for help. What? Oh. Wait a second. You want Mickey to help you get to them? I actually chuckled at that. I gotta tell you, that's about the most oni thing I've ever heard. Should I take that as a compliment? However you want. You realize, of course, that he's in prison, right? For the crimes he committed against me and Romeo, and the entirety of the United Nations Space Command and the Unified Earth Government. She put her hands up to placate me. I'm well aware of his current situation, Buck. We've got a plan in place, but the biggest factor is you being able to effectively work with him again. That's a challenge we'll have to overcome when we get to it. A challenge? Buck, you have to think about the bigger picture. I scoffed at that. The bigger picture? Veronica, one of my brothers-in-arms betrayed me in the middle of a mission, in a premeditated way. That's not something I can ever forgive, much less forget. She got up to put a comforting hand on my arm. And I don't expect you to. Oh, but you expect me to be a big boy and put my differences aside for the good of humanity, right? She gazed up at me, but didn't say a word. I slipped on my shoes and stomped out of the room. I didn't want to argue with her anymore. I knew that if I did, she would simply get her way. She'd show me the calculus that said working with Mickey, formerly one of my best friends, a man I'd trusted with my life more times than I could count, would be the right thing to do. She always relied on me for garbage like this. In fact, most of the ops we'd worked on together had tough angles. I just wasn't sure I could manage this particular baggage, and I didn't know how I could face her if that was the truth. The fact was that I didn't really have a choice in the matter. If Oni wanted it to happen, all Veronica had to do was order me to do it, and I would have to comply. That would do something horrible to our relationship, but when compared to the fate of humanity, did that really matter? I wandered around Infinity, avoiding all of my regular places. The gym, the sparring room, the combat decks, the bars, the gaming rooms, and so on. I wasn't sure what I was looking for, but something told me I should be looking anyhow. This obviously wasn't the sort of thing I could just ask for anybody's advice about, for fear of running up against security concerns. I wasn't even sure I wanted to hear anyone's advice. Ticking up with Mickey again seemed like a bad idea no matter how I spun it. While I was walking around the observation deck, I ran into Captain Lasky. I snapped him a sharp salute and was about to spin on my heel to get out of his hair, but he stopped me. The man was standing in a corridor with a field of stars splayed in front of him. Apparently, Infinity had come out of slipspace at one of its random hopscotch vector points, and the captain was taking it in while he had the chance. "At ease, Spartan," he said, turning around and staring out into the dark expanse beyond the viewscreen. "I just like to come up here and watch the stars when I feel a need to clear my head." I gazed out at the breathtaking view surrounding us. It almost felt like we were floating in unprotected space. "I can understand the allure." Lasky nodded. "Sometimes you need to lift the weight of the galaxy off your shoulders by looking at it squarely in the face." After a silent moment, he turned toward me. "Anything I can help you with, Spartan?" For a second, I thought about dumping my current conundrum in his lap, but I didn't see the point. He was the captain of the UNSC Infinity, for crying out loud. On top of which, I felt pretty sure I wasn't supposed to talk about it with anyone except Veronica. For all I knew, Lasky needed plausible deniability when it came to this kind of ONI operation, and I couldn't compromise him just because I was personally torn up about it. Of course, with the whole of humanity on the ropes and Infinity as the seemingly last bastion of freedom in human space, such things like long-term consequences suddenly didn't seem as important. Still, old habits are hard to break. "It's a personnel issue, sir, but one that's way beneath your pay grade." He gave me a bit of a side eye, and I wondered if maybe he knew exactly what I was talking about. "Are you agitating for a pathway out of Osiris?" That surprised me. "No, not at all. Locke is a fantastic leader, and I couldn't ask for better teammates than Vale and Tanaka." "Then what's the issue, Spartan?" I've been asked to work with someone who once betrayed my trust," I said as evasively as I could manage. He raised his eyebrows and mouthed the word, "Ah." "That's something else entirely, and I trust you can figure it out. I think this goes without saying, but we value your abilities not only as a Spartan, but also as a leader. If and when you get tired of taking orders from Locke, I'm sure Commander Palmer would have another fire team ready and waiting for you in a heartbeat. Not everyone is made to be a leader. Truth be told, good ones are in short supply. Spartan Locke knows this." "That's good to hear, sir." I pondered his words as we gazed out at the stars. I knew he was right. I wasn't just a Spartan. I was a leader. And part of why I didn't want to work with Mickey again was that it reminded me how badly I'd screwed up that part of my job. I'd failed to recognize that one of my own people was going to betray me. And that stung far more than I cared to admit. I couldn't let that stop me, though. If Veronica needed me to run this operation, then there had to be a really good reason. This was more important than my situation with Mickey. Bigger things were at stake. I had to swallow my wounded pride, get back up on that horse, and flog another few trite metaphors as hard as I could. I trusted her. Much as I hated to admit it, I needed to figure out a way to make her plan work. "You sure I can't help you?" Lasky asked one more time. "No, sir," I said. "You were right about this view. My head is getting clearer by the moment." "Good." He turned to leave. "See that it remains that way." Before he departed through the door, he looked back over his shoulder and said, "And if I were you, I'd trust Captain Dare's judgment. In all matters." I chuckled at his tacit admission. I suppose that's done well by me so far, sir. After a few minutes of wondering if I could possibly pick out any familiar constellations this far from Earth or Draco III, I gave up and headed back for my quarters. I found Veronica waiting for me, sipping a bit of scotch. "This all you got?" she said, pouring a bit into a glass for me. "I save the good stuff for special occasions. This seems more like a disaster." Veronica tipped the bottle toward me in a sort of salute. "Then it's appropriate that we're sharing a disastrous kind of drink." I picked up my glass and raised it to her in a toast, which she mirrored. "Cheers," she said. The liquor burned beautifully on my tongue, and I let it roll around for a while to really soak in the damage. "So," I finally said, "getting the band back together." "Why is that?" "Nostalgia's not enough." She must have sensed my change in demeanor, because I wouldn't have taken that joke on the chin before. "I don't mind Romeo. Sure, he's hard to take in more than small doses. He makes up for it by being a damn fine soldier. But Mickey? Ow. I wouldn't bring him in if it weren't vital. If there were really any other way. Because this is coming from you, I'll hear you out." I sighed and took another sip. "Explain, please." Veronica inhaled through her nose to brace herself, and then began. "As you can imagine, not all of humanity has been neutralized by Cortana's efforts. Not yet, at least. While she's managed to subdue in one way or another just about every major colony in the unified Earth government, there are a few places that remain unaffected. In most cases, it's because these are illegal or unregistered settlements that are technically off the books." How's that for irony? Those places were thorns in the UNSC's side for decades, and now they're the only spots untouched by this madness. Right. For now, at least. It's likely that Cortana doesn't deem those places a direct threat and is simply focusing on bigger fish this early in her efforts. She's not about to start scouring every rock floating through the galaxy just because there might be humans cowering there in the shadows. Machine logic. It's just not an efficient use of time. And even AIs have to worry about whatever time they have, huh? I find that kind of comforting. Veronica fidgeted in her seat. A majority of these off-the-books places aren't official UEG settlements. They're run by the front, which you're familiar with. Which makes sense, I suppose, since they probably don't have many smart AIs of their own to rat them out and join Cortana. Exactly. I shook my head. I still don't get it. So they've got some real estate that's not under Cortana's thumb yet. What does that matter to us? Veronica gave me a rueful look, and I felt compelled to take another sip of my drink. "It's not quite that simple," she said. "Of course, it never is. There's one fairly substantial settlement that's somehow flown entirely under Cortana's radar. It's on a world the locals call Freedom. For obvious reasons, I'm sure. It was once an Earth colony on Cybele VI, but we abandoned it about a century ago. The locals moved into the ruins a decade later and found themselves sitting on top of a ton of Forerunner tech, most of which was embedded into the landscape. They've been quietly eking out a self-sufficient living there ever since, selling some of that tech on the black market." "And what does that have to do with us and our current situation?" "We've been monitoring it for a while, and it's become increasingly clear that something's going on there that has concealed it from Cortana's eyes. Adjacent colonies are completely offline, even the smaller ones, but our own sensors haven't detected a Guardian signature in Cybele VI yet. Not a single one."
"It's probably just on her list of things to do."
"Maybe. But it's not like we have a lot of time to sit on our hands and hope a solution appears out of thin air. Something about that place has kept it up and running when, for all intents and purposes, it should be down like the rest. Could be they've made some kind of discovery on their own.
Maybe they've managed to activate a machine that makes them impervious to Cortana's perception. Maybe it's something we just don't know about. Maybe they're too boring for anyone to actually care about. Veronica pointedly ignored me. We need to get there and figure it out. If it is rooted in Forerunner technology, we need to see if we can take that technology and replicate it elsewhere. And if we can't export it, we set up shop under that protection and move in. Either way, it's a possible solution for us. And humanity survives. You make it sound so simple. She laughed, bitter and short. There's nothing simple about it, Buck. But walking in there with a team of Spartans is guaranteed to make a tough job even harder. The leadership behind the front doesn't trust us. And they have good reasons not to. Because up until now, we'd have been happy to toss their butts in prison. But now we have a common enemy again. Cortana, and the assets she's wielding to gain control. If you thought the insurrectionists didn't like the UEG telling them what to do and how to do it before the Covenant War, you can imagine how much they'd enjoy having an AI lord over them instead. Aren't they going to blame us for that anyhow? I mean, the UNSC did create Cortana. They'll lay that at our feet for sure. I'm confident they will. But we don't have a lot of choices, do we? And at this point, it doesn't matter who's at fault. Whatever the right answer might be, they'd blame us either way. The argument is moot. They ought to be able to see that the Front and the UNSC need to work together if any of us are going to survive. And you think they're going to be that rational about it? She raised a hand to cut off further objections. I get it, Buck. I'm not naive to the complexity here. The Front won't be happy to see us. Apart from Cortana, we're the last people they'll want to see. To counteract that, we need someone on our side to give us the kind of credibility to walk in and talk with them without opening fire. I don't know, I said. Maybe a little firefight would do those jackasses some good. Contrary to popular belief, Oni prefers diplomatic solutions over combat. More people live, and we're all better for it. We also don't need them destroying whatever tech they have just to spite us. We go in peacefully and try to engage in a dialogue focused on mutual benefits. If that fails, then we'll consider other diplomatic methods. Like shooting things. If you went with shooting things first, we wouldn't have to bother with Mickey at all. Buck. She gave me such a look. I thought you preferred to think with your head rather than your rifle. When it comes to traitors like Mickey, my head doesn't work so well. I don't think you fully understand what you're asking from me, Veronica. Mickey betrayed me, and I sent him to jail to rot. What's to stop him from doing it again? She didn't answer. Once we're there, what do you think's gonna happen? That he'll listen to reason and we'll all work together like one big happy family? These people aren't freedom fighters, they're terrorists. There'll be a gunfight one way or another, and I want to make sure we're alive at the end of it. She shook her head and stood up. You had the chance to take Mickey out when you were at your worst. You arrested him instead. That's gotta count for something, Buck. I thought a quick death would be too kind. Now I'm gonna have to suffer along with him. I bowed my head. I'd lost this argument before it had even started, and I knew it. It was time to admit it. Even if this did turn into a gunfight, and even if it cost UNSC lives, my life even, this was our single ray of hope in an otherwise black night. We had to chase after it. I did my best to paste a game smile across my face. Veronica didn't buy it, but she was kind enough to pretend she did. She leaned over and kissed me. I'll take that as a yes. I know it's painful, but it's the right call. You have an uncomfortable habit of being right. You want me to stop? I sighed. Nah. If you started being wrong, that would be both of us. And then where would we be? You're wiser than you look. Gee, thanks, I said with a laugh. Let's keep that between us. You'll ruin my reputation. I kissed her back. So, when do we leave? Chapter 3. The answer to that last question was immediately. It turned out that Veronica had already cleared my mission with Locke, so I didn't have much explaining to do. We needed to get out on a bird before Infinity slipped again, which required some logistical footwork that had been going on for a few days. That told me Veronica had known she'd win the argument even before I stepped foot on the flagship. Very sneaky. You're good with this? I asked Locke when I bumped into him on the way to the hangar. Me, just taking off. Not really. I don't like breaking up Osiris, he said. But I'm told it's temporary and vital, which obviously takes priority right now. Just get back here in one piece. Deal? I couldn't argue with that. Give the others my regards, I said. Keep yourself safe, he said, nodding. I met Veronica in the designated ship bay at a Condor dropship called Foxtrot 111. A Condor was a bigger ship than I thought we needed for the whole of Alpha 9. But it wasn't like we could call for an upgrade or even supplies once we hit the road. Veronica had it stocked with enough provisions to keep a full fire team fed and operational for over a month. On top of that, the vehicle had an onboard armory filled with a variety of rifles, pistols, and ammunition. As much as we'd need to take down an entire battalion of Forerunner soldiers. If we ran through all of that, nothing else would be able to save us. The Condor looked a lot like a Pelican, although it was a good bit longer and fatter. The most important difference was that the Condor had a slipspace drive, which the Pelican did not. That meant we could handle interstellar travel, which we were going to need, since Infinity wasn't going to be carting us about. Veronica was dressed in black light armor from head to toe, the same recon variant armor she'd worn back when we fought through New Mombasa in 52. Probably fitted with the latest Oni tech. It might not have been active camouflage, but it did the trick. She'd already stowed her gear, and she was giving the ship a pre-flight check. Where we headed to first, I asked, as I slipped on board and put my own gear away. Romeo first. Once we've got him, we'll worry about the rest. I sighed. Do we really need him? I mean, I understand Mickey, but if Mickey turns against us, who will have our back? She had a point. I thought back to that day on Talitza when Mickey had betrayed Romeo and me. If it hadn't been for Romeo, Mickey would have had me dead to rights. The hell of it was that I'd always been closer to Mickey. Romeo was a disgusting, cocky pain in the ass. Mickey was humble, diligent, and always took the job seriously. I had never once doubted him up until then. I suppose that's why his betrayal hurt so much. And it had stuck me alone with Romeo, which only proved to make me bitter and resentful. It had been at least one reason I'd requisitioned to be moved out of Alpha 9. We could have brought in a couple of new Spartans to fill out the fire team and kept on going. A lot of good soldiers had run through the ranks of Alpha 9 back in our ODST days, after all. But honestly, my heart hadn't been in it. When you're the leader, the rest of the team has to trust your judgment. After Talitza, Romeo and I couldn't get along. Maybe I'd blown it so badly with relying on Mickey that I felt like I'd lost my mojo. Maybe Captain Lasky was wrong about me. Either way, I felt like I wasn't going to be able to lead a team again. Not with the confidence it required. Until I dealt with that. And now, here I was. About to saddle up and do it anyway. I asked Veronica, "So you know where Romeo is, right?" "He's on a planet called Balaho," she said. "Belonged to the Covenant. It's the Ungoy homeworld." I wrinkled my nose. "You gotta be kidding. He's stuck on a planet full of grunts?" I considered. Then again, couldn't have happened to a better guy. We haven't been able to reach him since Cortana's message. However, according to our relays, it seems that the Ungoy on Balaho have opted to live under her reign in exchange for protection. And we're flying into that? Does that sound exactly safe to you? Maybe. If they agreed to her terms, she probably didn't send a guardian to pacify the planet, which means it's probably safer than just about anywhere else. We won't know until we get there. Either way, we'll be sure to be prepped to make an emergency slipspace jump the moment we arrive. Otherwise, if there is a guardian in the area, we're looking at the shortest operation in Oni history. I gotta say, you really know how to sell this to me. We're not building a vacation home there, Buck. It's a smash-and-grab job. We go in, we get Romeo, and then we're out. So we know where he's at. He may be a big man surrounded by little grunts, but that's still a whole planet. We gotta figure out where to smash before we can grab. Romeo was stationed in the capital city, so that should limit the possibilities a bit. Also, keep in mind that the Ungoy bought into Cortana's deal. Balaho's not blacked out like Sanghelios or Earth. We'll try to raise him on the comm first. I gave her a wry smile. I'm sure it'll be that simple. I joined in to help Veronica finish the pre-flight checklist, which seemed like a luxury given how many times I'd had to jump into a pilot's seat and take off as fast as I could. It felt good to know I could trust a ship, even if I might not be able to trust the people who were going to board it. As we wrapped it up, though, I uttered the one question that had been nagging me. So, just what is Romeo doing on a planet full of Ungoy? Officially, Veronica said as she made her way to the cockpit. He was providing an escort for liaisons between the UNSC and the new Ungoy government that was running Balaho after the Covenant dissolved. It was a mess for a while. Some of Ungoy were allying with rogue factions and mercenary groups that needed cannon fodder for their own war machines. Others wanted to establish peace with humanity. And the UNSC thought Romeo was the right person for that job? He was a fine soldier, but I wouldn't have relied on Romeo for diplomacy beyond what you'd need to negotiate a bar tab. That. And he was caught sleeping with an admiral's wife. Or so the rumor goes. I laughed out loud. Now that sounds like the Romeo I know. Nothing like being assigned to a post on a planet with a high methane atmosphere. I wrinkled my nose again. It's going to stink, isn't it? Your armor comes with air filters. I suggest you make good use of them. Veronica slipped into the pilot's seat, and I took up my post at the weapons officer station just above and behind her, where I had control of the Condor's guns. A pair of autocannons on the prow and a network of Anvil II missiles that could be fired from the wings. Once we got clearance, Veronica flew the dropship out of Infinity's docking bay and then came about to flank it while setting course for Balaho. Get a good look, Veronica said, staring off into the massive shadow of Infinity. It might be a while before we see her again. It always is, I said, taking a deep breath. Let's get this party started, shall we? The sooner we start, the sooner we can get it done. The trip itself wasn't what bothered me. It was what waited at the end of it. Once we entered slipspace, there wasn't much to do. It wasn't as fast as using a portal, but the Condor had one of the new slipspace drives built using reverse-engineered Forerunner tech, which made it at least an order of magnitude faster than the ones we'd had during the war just 6 years ago. After a few hours' travel, we emerged from slipspace a good distance away from Balaho. Rather than barge straight in, Veronica had hauled the Condor up on the very edge of the Tala system, of which Balaho was the fifth planet, to see what was going on. She apparently could conduct scans from this distance with some of the Condor's fancy gizmos, and then slip closer to the planet once we knew it was safe. Since we were so far away from Balaho, our sensors took a while to pick everything up. Veronica spent the entire time with her fingers hovering over the controls that would send us back into slipspace at the first sign of trouble. No guardian had set up shop over Balaho, as it turned out. And as Veronica had predicted, the planet hadn't been blacked out at all. Instead, based on the sensor readings, the place seemed to be thriving. We picked up a couple of incredibly strange signals as we settled into orbit. "What are those?" I asked. "Forerunner ships," Veronica said. Oni has reports of Cortana using them to ferry supplies into planets that agree to her terms. Wow. I guess it pays to knuckle under to insane AIs. Should we expect any trouble? Are these things ridiculously weaponized? We'll be fine if we keep a low profile, she said, prepping a slit deeper in system, which translates, don't shoot up everything and blow our cover. The first sign of any combat and the Ungoy will be on to us. I suppose we couldn't have expected anything else. I grinned. Have you ever known the Ungoy to stand up to anyone? There was actually a rebellion here many years ago. The Covenant glassed a sizable amount of the planet's surface to put it down. Not to be too callous, but that seems a bit like overkill. I believe they preferred to think of it as efficient. I rubbed my chin. So the UNSC banished Romeo to this backwater stinkhole to babysit UEG ambassadors? I shook my head in disbelief. He really pissed that admiral off, didn't he? Veronica readied the controls to slip the Condor closer toward the Balaho. There's no Guardian here, but that doesn't mean Cortana couldn't have left an AI behind to watch over things. At the very least, we'll have to watch out for those Forerunner ships. We need to slip in and out with a minimum of fuss, or we'll wind up stranded. The jump was almost instantaneous, dropping us on the far side of the world as if we'd always been there, which just proved how much we'd benefited from picking through Forerunner tech over the years. I gazed down at the frozen green ball as it grew in our view screens. Two good-sized moons spun around it at a respectable distance. Buon and Padpad, according to the holos that sprang up on the transparent canopy in front of me. From their irregular shapes and the amount of machinery that seemed to have swallowed them, it looked like the Covenant had mined the crap out of them, leaving little but shells of what they'd once been. Beyond visibility, the nav system tracked a handful of massive Forerunner ships in orbit around the place, and smaller shuttles ran between them and the planet's surface. Other than that, I didn't see a whole lot of space traffic. I supposed Cortana had shut most of that down, and I hoped we were small enough to slip beneath their notice. Are you sure those ships aren't going to cause us trouble? I asked Veronica. Don't think so, she said. We've got signature dampeners on this Condor, the highest possible grade currently available. We shouldn't show up as even an echo on their sensors. But even if we did, it should be fine. Word is that they're supply ships only. They're solely concerned with doing their jobs. As long as we don't bother them, they won't bother us. So keep those guns cool. And how do you know this for sure? I don't. But there's only one way to find out. I explicitly shut down the weapons system. I didn't want the Forerunner ships getting the wrong idea about us, after all. As we neared the planet, Veronica took us around in a wide arc that put us as far away from the Forerunner ships as possible. I kept a sharp eye peeled toward our sensors reading the entire time. But those vessels never budged in our direction. I was glad to see that Oni technicians had made something that seemed every bit as high-tech as the Covenant's equipment. The ship's stealth systems definitely did their job, though I don't think I exhaled until we were edging up on Balaho's greasy green atmosphere. Romeo was assigned to the capital, Veronica said, a city called Gedgao, setting a course for it now. With that, we plunged into the noxious, swirling clouds that blanketed almost the entire planet. Assuming no one shoots us down before we reach the planet, how are we supposed to find Romeo? I asked. Balaho doesn't have any smart AIs of its own, and the Covenant never put a lot of effort into giving them a modern infrastructure. Even if Cortana has stationed a human AI down there to oversee things, in theory, it would be struggling to take over their hodgepodge of communication systems. In theory. This isn't a simulation, Buck. Things go wrong. We deal with it either way. You didn't answer my question. Romeo, how do we find him? We'll try the comms first. And if that doesn't work, we'll sit down and do it the old-fashioned way. That didn't sit well with me. But it wasn't like we had a ton of options on this icy ball of methane. I gave up arguing for the moment as we slid blindly through the atmosphere. Fair enough. A short while later, we broke through the now gray clouds and found ourselves arcing high over a massive city rising out of the edges of what appeared to be a frozen swamp. It looked like a wide plain filled with rolling hills, into which a giant had stabbed dozens of Covenant-style buildings that reached high into the sky. You know, large purple, gray, and yellow structures made of some weird alloy, with a heavy preoccupation for hexagons. Lights burned all throughout the place, visible through the haze and scissoring across the sky. "Now that we're closer, try raising Romeo on your armor's comm system," Veronica said. "Those channels are hard-encoded to prevent the enemy from listening in, and hopefully they'll hold up against any attempt to crack them. Even if someone detects it, they won't be able to trace it back to us. It's worth the risk at this point." I smiled at her. "I knew there was a reason I loved you." "Add it to the list," she said. As we scudded through the now bluish clouds of methane that hung over the city, I saw more arrays of lights struggling to break through. The forest of Covenant-style buildings grew denser, although I didn't see many roads. Those that were there seemed wide and, for the most part, empty of traffic. A few larger vehicles rolled along them, but I didn't see anyone on foot. We sailed over the city at a safe distance, and no one challenged us. I didn't see anything in the air other than a flock of bizarre flying creatures that looked like salamanders zipping about, entirely ignoring us. I tracked the flock with my armor's sensors just to make sure they weren't some kind of fancy biomimetic drones. But they remained innocuous, and I watched them all disappear beneath an overpass far below us. Now, I've never been to Balaho, but does it seem a little too quiet up here? Veronica nodded. It appears the Ungoy grounded most of their own air traffic, probably in the wake of Cortana's edict. Still, there's no reason to push our luck. Get hold of Romeo as fast as you can. I brought up the old Alpha 9 channel on my armor's comm system. "Calling all Spartans, calling all Spartans. Romeo, this is Buck. You out there?" Nothing. I tried my patter again. Still no response. "It's a big city," Veronica said. "No guarantee he has his ears on. Probably found himself trapped underneath a harem of Ungoy females." I scanned toward what my heads-up display said was the east and tried again. "Romeo, Romeo, wherefore are thou, Romeo?" A few seconds later, a familiar voice came crackling over the comm. "Shall I hear more? Or shall I speak at this?" Despite how little I liked the guy sometimes, I have to admit that hearing his voice plastered a big old grin across my face. "Hey, I knew we could find you in a haystack of grunts." "Buck? I never thought I'd be so glad to hear your voice. You need to get me out of here." "Well, it seems Spartan Command received your request for a transfer. But we're still waiting for your paperwork to process." Romeo's distance and direction popped up on my helmet's display. I tapped them into the Condor's comm system and sent the details to Veronica, which manifested on the viewport's holo display. "I'm not messing around here, Buck. Things got pretty scary after that Cortana chick laid down the law, and the Ungoy? Let's just say a lot of them are true believers when it comes to her new world order. They didn't have much freedom under the Covenant, but once the prophets were gone, the only freedom the people of Balaho had was to fall to pieces and starve. The UEG's been shipping in as much aid as they can, but it really hasn't been enough. Once Cortana made her offer, they leaped at it. Can't say I blame them. I wouldn't put it past these guys to gen up some kind of rebellion once they're all back to being stable and well-fed, but they're a long way from that now. Romeo, we're on our way in a Condor," Veronica said. "It would be best to get you out of here before anyone decides they want to stick around." "That you dare?" Romeo said, plainly delighted. "This just keeps getting better and better." I heard the distinct rattle of gunfire in the background. "Are you all right, Romeo?" Veronica asked. "What's your situation?" "I don't want to rush you or anything, but the faster you get here, the happier you'll make me." "What's up, Romeo?" I asked. "Some angry husbands gunning for you one last time before you leave?" "I wish," Romeo said with a forced chuckle. "After the Ungoy decided they were going to side with Cortana, she sent an army of Forerunner soldiers to secure the embassy. I take it that didn't go well, I said. Not unless you consider it a rousing success to have the entire embassy destroyed and nearly everyone inside killed. A grenade went woomph somewhere nearby. So you left the embassy and hightailed it here?
Just about.
I still got a load of grunts and soldiers on my tail, and they're doing their level best to turn me into a non-survivor.
Hold tight, Veronica said. We're almost there.
As we got closer to Romeo's position near the top of one of the larger buildings, I noticed staccato bursts of light cutting through the methane-tinged haze. Some of it sprang from the familiar muzzle flashes of a battle rifle, but most of it was the warm colors of hard light and the bright whites of plasma blasts.
You don't know how glad I am to hear that. I thought I'd commandeer myself a ship, but the Ungoy and their Forerunner friends are a bit more possessive of their interstellar transports than I'd hoped.
Where are you now?
I'm on the 42nd floor of a building dedicated, I think, to the musical arts.
Did you say musical arts?
I thought I'd misheard him.
Yeah. Apparently that's a massive thing in this culture.
We're just outside of your position, Veronica cut in. Do you think you can make it to the roof?
I saw a blast of bluish light near where I'd seen the muzzle flashes, and a boom came at me through the comm.
Romeo, I called out.
Romeo!
Just got a bit singed there, he said in a pained voice. Those plasma grenades are a bitch, and those little guys seem to have an unlimited supply.
Can you get to the roof?
He blew out a long sigh.
I'm trying, man.
At least I'm not stuck in one of the pre-covenant buildings. I'm like twice as tall as the Ungoy. The first week I was here, I had to crawl through most of the places they built before they joined up with the Sangheili and the rest.
Worst time ever.
Just answer the question.
I don't know, okay?
I'm on the top floor, but the lift didn't go to the roof. I've been looking for a way up for the past hour, and these little bastards finally got me cornered.
Can you blast a hole in the exterior wall? Veronica asked.
Maybe with an explosive.
Romeo clucked his tongue. Balaho might not be the most advanced planet in the galaxy, but they do have a building code.
You don't get structures this tall if you can blast holes in them, particularly not ones someone as big as me can fit through.
We could do it with the Condor's guns, Veronica said, but that might bring down every Forerunner and Ungoy soldier in the area.
I shrugged at Veronica.
Well, we tried. I mean, we did our best, right?
Not funny, Buck, Romeo shouted into the comm.
He went silent for a moment. Veronica brought the Condor in closer to the building and turned a single spotlight on the area where he might be. I peered through large transparent panes that must have been windows and saw the telltale arcs of several plasma grenades being lobbed at once. Then the muzzle flash from what had to be Romeo's battle rifle tracked away from them fast. When the explosions went off, the flashes stopped, and I held my breath.
You okay in there, Romeo? I finally asked.
Just come and get me, all right? Blow a hole through the wall, and I'll jump into whatever it is you're flying around in.
Assuming that's you with the spotlight hovering out there and not an enemy gunship about to open up on me.
Glad to have you aboard, I said, taking the controls at the weapons station. Just step back for the fireworks.
That's what I like about you, Buck. You always did know how to make a soldier feel welcome.
I brought the Condor's 70mm autocannons to bear on a spot on the wall a few meters behind his current position.
Hold on, I said. I'm about to help the grunts with a little remodeling.
I blasted away at a glassy part of the building. Its windows quickly shattered, and the metallic frames splintered into pieces. I kept up the barrage, unloading shell after shell into the structure until I'd chewed a massive hole in the side of it. As the smoke cleared, I said, "That work for you?"
Romeo appeared amid the swirling mist in the opening I'd created and waved me down.
"Can't say you never did anything for me."
Veronica swung the back of the bird around and reached for her own helmet as I slipped out of my seat to move aft. Once she was ready, I opened up the rear hatch. The stench of the Balaho atmosphere hit me like a hammer, but the rebreather filtration system in my Mjolnir kept me alive and functional, if revolted. As the ramp lowered, I stood beckoning Romeo to make the leap. He was busy firing a few last shots at some nasty Forerunner soldiers too stubborn to know better.
"Quit screwing around with your friends," I shouted as I found a grab bar to hold on to.
"Come on!"
Another plasma grenade from the last remaining grunt arced out at him, and my breath caught in my chest. I hadn't come all this way to watch him die. He'd spotted it, though, and was hustling to get away from it. In a single bound, he leaped for the Condor's ramp, using his Mjolnir suit's mini-thrusters for an assist. The backwash from the thrusters caught the incoming grenade and knocked it straight back the way it had come. It exploded a moment later, sending even more debris and an unlucky Ungoy arcing out into the open air next to the building. I'd have thought he'd planned for that if I hadn't known better. Once he landed, he shouted back at the soldiers who were scrambling to the opening. "Consider that a parting gift!" Before the Forerunner armigers could start to unload on the Condor, Veronica punched the gas, and the bird zipped forward, nearly throwing Romeo out the back ramp. Fortunately, I was there to reach out and grab him. We locked forearms, and I hauled him inside the Condor and then closed the ship up behind him. "Thanks," Romeo said as he staggered forward into the bay and collapsed on a bench, removing his helmet. He hadn't changed much since the last time I'd seen him. Still tall, dark, bald, and a little too handsome for his own good. His hair had gotten gray near the temples, and his eyes, well, I wouldn't call them wiser, but they had a few more wrinkles near the edges. Becoming a Spartan may have made career ODSTs feel like new people, but that didn't mean it reset the clock when it came to getting older. I wondered how we might look in another 50 years, should we live that long. I had just turned 48, even if some of those years had been scrubbed by all the slipspace travel I'd done during the war. That said, I didn't relish the idea of being a centenarian Spartan, kept alive long past my natural expiration date by implants and my armor. But I didn't care much for the alternative. "You all good?" I asked Romeo. "Got all your parts attached?" He nodded while he caught his breath. "And in all the right places." He sized me up. "Good to see you, Gunny." "I'm not your superior anymore. At least when it comes to rank." He waved off my protest. "Old habits, man." Under Veronica's steady hand, the Condor had started climbing through the methane mists. With luck, no one would be able to follow us through those greasy blue clouds, and we'd be free and clear of the planet before anyone could stop us. "I'm glad you came along," Romeo said. "I thought I was toast."
"You should blame Veronica for that," I told them. "She has this crazy new mission for us."
"That sounds good," he said. "You and me, Buck, just like old times."
"Oh, it's not just you and me," I said. "She wants the whole team back together."
"What are you..."
He stopped, open-mouthed.
"You gotta be kidding me."
"It's important, Romeo," Veronica said over the comm from the pilot seat. "We need you for this."
"And you need Crespo, too? Forget saving me. I'd be better off with the grunts."
"Hold on a second," he said, turning toward Veronica.
"Are we leaving right now? I can't just up and leave the people we have here."
"I thought you said everyone you were guarding here was dead." He held up an index finger to object.
"I said nearly everybody.
When I left the embassy to get a ride, there were still a few people alive and hiding out. I was hoping to find a ship big enough to carry us all off this frozen ball of mud." "Veronica," I called up front, "how much of a hurry are we in?"
"The longer we take, the more we risk it all going sideways, right here at the beginning of the op. The diplomatic personnel knew what they were signing up for, and they've been trained on how to behave in situations like this. On top of that, we don't know how long we've got till the clock runs out on us. If we miss that window, it'll risk a lot more human lives."
I turned back to Romeo. He cut me off before I even started in with him.
"I don't know what you came to get me for," he said. "I just know I'm not leaving here without the people I promised to protect."
"I could order you to ignore them." He squinted at me.
"Didn't you just say you don't outrank me?"
"Veronica could do it."
He tapped his ear. "I have a real hearing problem when it comes to listening to Oni. Old habit."
A moment ago, this had seemed so much simpler.
"How many people are we talking about?"
"Just a handful," he said with a grimace. Maybe up to 7 all told. That's more than a handful. I got big hands. He had the grace to squirm as I shook my head at him.
They're good people, he said. They're trapped here on this stinking planet, and the Ungoy in charge will hand them all over to Cortana's forces. Or kill them if they refuse to go along quietly. This isn't a question about probably. They'll die here, Gunny.
Damn it. I looked up toward the cockpit. Veronica shrugged and said, "Looks like we're not quite done here yet."
Chapter 4
"So where are these people?" Veronica said as I climbed back into the weapons station. Romeo stepped into the space behind the pilot's seat and leaned over her to point out a spot on the glowing holo wireframe map of Gedgaw that she'd brought up on the Condor's dash emitter. "That's the embassy right there," he said. "It sits on the top floor." I considered it. "Doesn't look so hard. We land on that balcony, blast away anyone who gives us any trouble, and hustle your friends on board. Easy, right?" "But they might not be there anymore." I rubbed my forehead. "Veronica asked you where they are, not where they used to be. That's where they were when the Ungoy attacked the place. I had to leave them there. If I had to guess, they were probably hauled away by the time I got to the top of the building you found me in." "Do you know where they are now?" Veronica asked. Romeo gestured to a large low dome that sat right in the middle of the city. "No, but that's the Kabakara, the seat of the Ungoy government. That's where they'd take them. So somewhere between those two points is my best guess." "That's a government building?" "It looks like a gigantic burrow," I said. "It pretty much is. Ungoy started out building their homes underground for protection from larger creatures. And you can see that in their architecture." "What about that high-rise we just pulled you out of?" I asked. "That was built after they joined the Covenant, under the orders of the Prophets. The history lesson is great, guys, but we don't have forever here," Veronica said. "Focus." Romeo gave her a firm nod and pointed at the dome again. "If they were arrested, they'd be brought into the prison in the lowest level of the Kabakara." "You'd better hope they aren't there already," I said. "Or we'll never get them out. We don't have the firepower to blast that place apart." "Whatever we're going to do, let's do it fast," Veronica said. "We don't have time to waste on this." "Can you raise any of them on your comm?" I said to Romeo. He put his helmet back on. "I'll give it a shot." A moment later, I heard him talking with someone, to my relief. "May," he said, "slow down. Where are you?" "Not where are you going, where are you? Right now." He fell silent as he listened to the response, grunting a reply every so often. Veronica started moving the Condor in the direction of the government building. He finally cleared his throat and said to us, "They're not in the Kabakara yet. They're in a transport on their way there now." "Do you have their route?" Romeo pointed to a street on the holographic map. It led straight from the embassy to the Kabakara. It didn't seem like there was that much distance between them. "What's taking them so long to get there?" I asked. Romeo shrugged. "Who knows? Guess they're not in a hurry. They have the whole planet under Cortana's lockdown, after all. With the exception of a few troublemakers like us. And they didn't know about you two. Until we came blasting in to rescue you." I didn't like this at all. But Romeo had a point. Leaving ambassadors stuck on a captured planet wasn't the right thing to do. "On it," Veronica said. She brought the Condor in low over where the map said the street should be. But there was just a flat, ashen strip in place of the road. "Are the mists just too thick, or is there no traffic on these streets at all?" "You're looking at the top of the street," Romeo said. "Most of the streets in Gedgaw are covered to keep the Ungoy protected. At least while they're in vehicles. They've gotten more relaxed over the years, though, so nowadays most of them actually walk along the tops of the streets. They even set up markets along them." "But our target is riding under the street's cover?" Veronica asked. "Exactly." "Then how are we supposed to get our friends out of there?" I said. This had gone from a simple smash-and-grab operation to something far more involved. "We just get down there, stop the transport, and haul them up here," Romeo said.
What's so hard about that?
I grimaced, staring down at the street through the mist, which thinned as we drew closer. I could see little hawker stands lining the edges, with loads of grunts smelling among them. Well, we can't just blow up the cover and dive in, I said.